This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by the Smitten Kitten, non-toxic quality sex toys and supplies. Visit smittenkittenonline.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. My guest today is Reid Mahalko, a sex and relationship expert, and he'll join me in a few minutes. In my book, Opening Up, A Guide to Creating and Sustaining Open Relationships, I define polyamory as the desire and practice of having multiple intimate, significant relationships simultaneously. Polyamory certainly isn't a new concept, but it does seem to be gaining some momentum in the mainstream media. For example, when Newt Gingrich's ex-wife revealed that he came to her and wanted to have an open marriage, it really opened the door. And finally, the media conversation shifted from these stories over and over about why do powerful men cheat. And instead, this time, it really provided us with an opportunity to talk about what a responsible open marriage or open relationship looks like. In the past year, there have been profiles of non-monogamous people and families on 2020, Nightline, National Geographic, Good Morning America, Anderson Cooper, Bravo, Oprah's Own Network, as well as local affiliates of all the major networks. And there have been countless articles in national publications, including The Guardian, Psychology Today, Salon, Slate, Huffington Post, The New York Times, USA Today, and Ebony Magazine. Today, we're going to talk about many different aspects of polyamory from someone who knows a lot about it, who teaches folks about it, and who lives it himself. Sex and relationship expert Reid Mahalko of readaboutsex.com helps adults learn how to understand their lovers' bodies and be better communicators so they can create more self-esteem, self-confidence, and greater health in their relationships and sex lives, no matter what their self-expression of those happen to be. From his rated PG or PG-13 workshops like The Cuddle Party, which he co-founded, or Speed Flirting, to the rated R ones like Iron Slut Sex Educator Showdown, to his very explicit NC-17 rated Show and Tell Sex Ed workshops, where audiences get to watch, take notes, and ask questions, Reid's workshops have been attended by close to 40,000 individuals from myriad walks of life, orientations, relationship styles, countries, and religions. Known for his charisma, wit, and emphasis on integrity, Reid travels the country teaching, coaching, consulting, and collaborating on fulfilling his mission: create more self-esteem, self-confidence, and sexual health for adults in and out of the bedroom. Reid has been a writer and producer on a number of films and television projects about sex and relationships, and he appears regularly in the media. He's appeared on Montel, Fox News, the VH1 show Scott Baio is 45 and Single, Showtime's Penn and Teller's Bullshit, The Sex Files, Sex TV in Canada, on NPR, Sirius Radio, Cosmo Radio, in countless publications from GQ to the National Enquirer, and media really all over the globe, in 13 countries and at least 7 languages. We'll see how many languages he speaks. Reed has been a featured speaker at dozens of conferences on relationships and sexuality, and he's a sought-after presenter and teacher at colleges and sex-positive stores around the country. I am thrilled to have him in the studio with me today in San Francisco. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Reed.
Yay!
I'm glad you're here. We're going to talk about polyamory to begin with. I gave you a little brief definition from my book at the top of this, but how do you define polyamory?
Well, I mean, your definition pretty much rocks. And of course, the joke in the poly community is if you ask, you know, 4 polyamorous people what the definition of poly is, you get like 6 or 7 definitions. For me, it's anyone or anyone's who are intentionally and, you know, above board consensually creating multiple relationships, which may or may not include sex. So they're love-based relationships where, you know, it's okay for us to be in love with more than one person. And I know a lot of poly people who really only have sex with one person, but have these really deep, meaningful love relationships with other people. And then there are sluts like me who, you know, have several relationships going on at any time, and then a whole little cadre of friends and lovers.
And why do people practice polyamory? I mean, what do you see as the main benefits?
The main benefits in practicing polyamory for me, it's the idea that you don't have to limit your affections for people. That it's, you know, for me, it's my self-expression, and being able to be affectionate in whatever way seems appropriate, and not have that be destroying the other relationships that I'm in. I mean, for me, it's a lot about like dating your species. My relationship world was really tough early on because I didn't know poly was an option. I was trying to figure out who I was, and the more that I fell in love with one person, the more I had this like, you know, extreme excitement to just like slather everybody else with love. And the best analogy I can come up with for muggles, like for non-sex positive geeks like us, is this idea that, you know, couples who have, or even just, you know, people, you don't have to be in a couple, but when you have one child, you're so excited to be a parent, you just want to have more.
Right.
And for poly folk, especially for me, and some of my friends and lovers, like that's kind of it. Like you, love is contagious, and you don't want to have to put the brakes on.
And what do you think about this recent increase in mainstream media coverage of non-traditional relationships? I mean, do you think polyamory is gaining more visibility?
It's certainly gaining more visibility. I mean, my kind of uber overarching comment or commentary on relationships to begin with is that, you know, the ideas of what used to be kind of culturally sanctioned, this is the box that relationships and healthy relationships should be in. It's almost like that box over the years has gotten, and it's been sitting out in the rain. It's gotten soggy and it's just decomposing, which is scary for a lot of folks because they're trying to make relationships work by the old rules that we were raised by, and relationships just kind of keep breaking down. And the only response people have is to just love harder, try harder. Which works for some people, but for other people, it just kind of keeps not working, and people are upset and confused about what to do. And I think poly and other, you know, alternative relationship styles are gaining momentum, one, because of the media and the internet. Like, it's easier to find people that are living in, you know, outside of boxes. And two, there's a desperate need for some folks to try to figure out what's going on, what's not working in their relationship. So they're trying new things.
And so what would you say to a couple that wants to try something new? Like you just said, a couple that maybe has been monogamous for a certain period of time and has decided, hey, maybe we want to give this polyamory thing a try. What's kind of your first piece of advice?
My first piece of advice, which is my advice for everybody, is don't lie. Put all the cards on the table, even if it's, you know, you want to be in a relationship where you guys can have the conversations that you think are going to ruin the relationship. Because if in having those conversations, if they do not ruin the relationship, you're actually having like a relationship with a capital R. A lot of people are withholding things from each other because they're afraid it's going to destroy the relationship. And that's monogamous, poly, swinger, kinky. It doesn't matter. Like so many people are doing that. And I'm really a big proponent, and I try to be a good role model for, like, you know, put your cards on the table. Do that first and foremost. The second bit of advice for especially monogamous people who are curious about poly is go slow.
Don't jump into the deep end of the pool.
No. I mean, just because there are going to be conversations you guys don't even know to have. It's one of the reasons I recommend your book, Opening Up, to a lot of people, because it has so many different perspectives and really good questions and thinking things that you should be doing that you wouldn't necessarily know. And at this point around polyamory, there are so many people out there who have reinvented the wheel over and over again and made mistakes. And some of those people are writers, you know, and you can read their books and they'll tell you the mistakes that they made. So, you know, go slow, do your research, and really like over talk this stuff, like almost to death, before you start diving into the deep end. I mean, you can go to the kiddie pool, dip your toe in, hang out with poly folk and other, you know, non-monogamous types, and just pick their brains for information and really see if this is your kind of, if this is a good fit for you.
Well, let's talk about talking. Because one thing people tell me all the time is they feel like they have partners who aren't big talkers. They don't really know how to process. They don't like it. They sort of avoid it. How do you talk to someone whose communication style is not direct? I mean, I see this lay all the cards on the table. You obviously have a very direct communication style. What about people for whom that terrifies them, or they don't even know what their cards are?
I would say for the people who are terrified, get really excited about being terrified. Like
embrace the terror.
You like walk towards the gun, so to speak. Like it's kind of like a street combat model. Like you have more control closer to the gun than further away, especially if the person's a good aim. So you need to be close. And get used to being scared, because what you're starting to model is an extreme version of vulnerability, which does not make most people feel comfortable. The neat part about it, though, is the more that you put yourself out there, and I'm not saying publicly, like, and I'm not recommending that people do what I do, which is just plaster my private life all over the interwebs. You're allowed to have your private life. But with the people that you're loving and trying to build relationships with, there's a certain amount of vulnerability that you need to always be modeling, and putting yourself out there. And that's terrifying for a lot of people, but it's the only way to make multiple relationships work. I mean, it's hard enough to have a sustainable relationship with one person, and you think the solution is let's have four, honey.
Right.
And I would say the other piece too is like, don't think opening up your relationship is going to save it. That's another little, you know, bumper sticker moment for folks. You know, it's like, oh, our relationship's not really working. Let's open it up, honey. That's not the solution. It's like being a business owner and being like, you know, my business isn't really doing so well. I'm going to start another one.
Yeah, that seems like it would be a bad idea. I'm going to franchise. No. We've got to get things in order here first.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I certainly think that if you open your relationship and it's not solid, that's going to get, the cracks are going to get exposed pretty quickly. Okay, so we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the challenges of polyamorous and non-traditional relationships. More Sex Out Loud when we return.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans, just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Turn off the TV and pick up the remote control that is sure to please. Worn while making love, the WeVibe 3 features whisper quiet motors that will keep you anything but quiet. We can't help it if the rechargeable battery lasts longer than you do. Learn more about the world's number one vibrator for couples at WeVibe.com. WeVibe. Share the pleasure.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I want to thank my fabulous sponsor, the Smitten Kitten, a progressive sex toy store for everybody, specializing in high-quality sex toys and supplies. Check them out at smittenkittenonline.com and use the coupon code Tristan for 20% off. So before the break, I introduced my guest, sex and relationship guru, Reed Mahalko, and we began to talk about polyamory. Now, I know that you do individual coaching with people, with couples, with relationship units. So what are some of the most common challenges or roadblocks that people in polyamorous relationships face?
Well, I coach a lot of different people, like monogamous to poly to kinky to whatever. And I would say the biggest roadblocks for people in general are just this kind of either one of the couples is depleted completely and the other person isn't. And people are just like shut down sexually in weird ways. And that also happens in poly relationships. Mostly what I think is happening is because people aren't amazing communicators, it's almost like the image, which is I'm not sure it's a great analogy, but it's almost like your ship in the ocean, like relationship. Anyone? Anyone?
Nice.
And in all those miscommunications are like barnacles that are building up on the hull of the ship. And so it's slowing everything down, and that people don't know how to kind of dry dock their relationship, take it out and like have all the conversations that they haven't had to clean up everything so that things can run smoother. In poly relationships, that can be even more difficult because with more relationships, you've got the opportunity for more miscommunications and miscommunications between lovers of a particular person. So, you know, whereas if we were monogamous, you're just dealing with me. If we're poly, I've now fallen in love with somebody else that you don't particularly like. And because I'm in love, I'm not necessarily communicating great. I'm, you know, that new relationship energy is causing me to be a complete doofus. Plus, if you don't like or feel safe with the person that I'm dating or in love with or just courting, and they're not a good communicator, now there's this other person that you're not communicating well with. And so the miscommunications can build up, you know, almost exponentially. And that shuts people down really quickly.
Okay, so let's talk about these other people. What if your partner comes to you and says, hey, I want to have sex with or romance or relationship with this other person and you don't like them? What do you do?
Well, you need to talk about, like, have a conversation about that. I mean, ideally, all this happens before you even, like, dip your toe into the pool of poly. The way it really happens in reality, which is, you know, all the emails you get and the phone calls and emails I get is, you know, my partner's been cheating on me and now they want to be poly. Mm. And they're like, what the fuck? You know? Right. And I'm like, yeah.
This is the Newt Gingrich issue. You know, when the Newt Gingrich story broke and his ex-wife said, you know, he came to me and said he wanted to have an open relationship, it was that he was already cheating and he sort of wanted to come clean and say, can the mistress now not be the mistress, but the consensual other partner? And I know a lot of poly people who were interviewed about that is like, Newt Gingrich does not want an open marriage. He just wants to cheat. But I felt like it exposed a kind of a dirty little secret, which is that some people do come to non-monogamy via cheating.
And it makes sense because the options are you're not supposed to be cheating. So for people who, for whatever reason, need to be getting their needs met in other ways or just making poor relationship choices, but then fall in love. And they're like, well, how do I get to have my cake and eat it too? Not in some weird greedy way, which is really the only way to look at it from, you know, cultural. It's like, oh, you want to cheat and get away with it. But in a, hey, you know, I discovered that I might be like this. Is there
and
any way?
I don't want to end what I already have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that it's that kind of having your cake and eating it too.
Why is having your cake and eating it too have negative connotations? If you brought me a cake, I wouldn't just want it to sit on the table. I'd want to eat it. Why does it have such negative connotations?
It might have to do with people being lactose and gluten intolerant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So a vegan cake would
a
be
a vegan order. Cake would be better. I mean, I order the pie, but that's me.
Okay.
Yeah. So joking aside, the negative connotations are cultural, in my opinion. Like
we shouldn't want more.
Yeah, and that was my story in college. I fell in love. I was in a relationship with my high school, love of my life. Right after high school, we started dating, and then I fell in love with this girl in art class, in airbrush class. I went to art school, and it was amazing. But culturally speaking, all it could mean is that I didn't love the first person enough, or I wasn't grown up because I needed to sow my oats. Mm-hmm. And so I started trying to deconstruct, like, how do we make this work? And my solution, of course, was I'm going to introduce the two of them together, because if they could just see how awesome they are, it'll make sense. And I told a good friend of mine, and I'm like, what do you think? And he's like, that is the stupidest idea ever. And a week later, I had them both sitting in the same room, and it was excruciatingly painful. And it was then the worst idea ever, because what I hadn't been doing was vetting people for poly, which was this. The good thing was I was upfront and open about it. The bad thing was I wasn't dating my species.
So let's talk about that. I've heard you use that phrase. I think you even teach a class on it.
Yeah.
Dating your species. Tell me what that is.
Okay. So it's the idea of most. In my opinion, having had a lot of conversations and working with a lot of people on relationships, it's my opinion that most people's relationships problems are coming from two places. One, they're falling in love with perfectly good people who are horrible fits for them. And that's just not sustainable anymore. You know, for our great grandparents, if you married a good person, you stuck by them because you were lucky to have a good person. Today, if you fall in love with a good person and they don't make you ultimately happy, that doesn't work. The other thing is that most people need to upgrade who they date. Like, you're dating, like, you need to go up the food chain a couple of rungs and date better people better communicators, people who are more self-aware, have a higher emotional IQ. This is important.
How do you test for that? What's the litmus test for that? I meet someone, they seem genuine and sweet, they're sexy, I'm attracted to them. How do I know how high up on the food chain they are?
It's you have a conversation with them about like you what I do is I put everything on the table. Here are all the reasons you shouldn't date me. You know, I'm a slut, I'm queer, I'm polyamorous, I'm all these things, I don't want kids, blah, blah, blah. And then I say, what about you? And in what they say in the next 3 to 5 minutes tells me volumes, helps me assess where they're at. Mm-hmm. If I share with somebody all that stuff and
they run screaming.
Yeah, then they did me a favor. I might have to feel burned by rejection, but the worst thing would have been if they stayed and tried to make me fit their paradigm of what a relationship was.
And people do that.
Yeah. And we still do. I went through that. Like I tried to get all these monogamous people to be poly. It was horrible. And the analogy I use is like, if you think of relationships like music, like love is music. But what kind of musician are you? Are you a jazz musician?
Right.
Are you country? Are you rock and roll?
I'm very flexible, but I don't like reggae under any circumstances.
So you dating somebody who wants to start a band, a reggae band, and tour the country, when you want to just stay at home and have a little duo who records in your basement.
A folk duo.
Yeah, folk duo.
Yeah.
Like that's going to be a bad fit. Like you can both love music, but you're going to make each other very angry. And that's my analogy for relationships. Where that applies to poly as well is there's different kinds of reggae.
Right.
So what
there's
kind
like
of reggae?
There's like a neo reggae and there's island reggae.
There's ska. And there might be reggae crossover.
Reggae crossover, right. I don't like any of it.
Yama. But so the idea is inside of poly, like what kind of poly are you? Mm. You know, and
But then this other point I want to draw out a little bit is, are there, in fact, poly people, monogamous people? Is it an orientation? Is it that solid? Or are there people who actually, given the circumstances, could go either way?
Situational poly, situational bisexuality.
I mean, yeah, I feel like you're talking about it as if it's this fixed thing. There are poly people.
The only reason I don't do orientation is because then people will sometimes get into a conversation about nature versus nurture. And I'm a pragmatist. I'm a New Yorker. I don't care. Mm-hmm. What makes you happy?
Right.
If you were born this way or not, I don't care.
But could you swing back and forth depending on the person, situation, point in your life?
I think for some people that's probably true, right? And I would say that those are people who are really flexible in you're monogamous, but it doesn't matter to you if you're dating or in a relationship with somebody who's poly or not, because you're just in one relationship. They just have quote-unquote extended family. You know, for some people, dating somebody with kids or no kids isn't a big deal. For some poly people, dating somebody who's monogamous, if it's the right monogamous person, not such a big deal. I mean, you really have to start looking at what makes you happy, mm-hmm. what totally doesn't work for you, like what are your bottom lines, and can you stick to them, even when you're starving for a relationship? What makes you happiest? What are your bottom lines? And then where's the wiggle room for you? Like, where are the things that you're like, you know, I don't really care what religion you are. I just care that you're a decent human being. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care if you go to synagogue or church. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
Right.
For some people, that's a big fucking deal.
That's at the top of the list. Yeah.
And that's a deal breaker for you. Like, if you really need somebody to be the religion or
to type, share your spiritual
beliefs, whatever that is, mm-hmm. and practices, then you are a moron if you're dating somebody who's not excited about the same religious practices that you are. Like, you're going to totally make yourself unhappy, no matter how awesome they are on all these other areas.
Right.
And that's the same thing in poly, too. Like, I am the kiss of death to the monogamous conservative person that wants to have kids a year from now. Mm-hmm. I don't care how awesome you are.
You're not changing your mind on this.
I'm not changing my mind, but it's out of integrity for me to even date you. Because if we fall in love and go cuckoo over each other and then decide that it's a great idea for us to move in the next week, we're going to make each other miserable no matter how hard we try.
Right. Okay. Well, let's wallow in the misery for just a moment. We have to pause for a word from our fantastic sponsors. And I think one of them can actually cure a certain form of misery. WeVibe, the world's best-selling couples vibrator. Go to we-vibe.com to find out all about it. Coming up, Reed will take some questions from our listeners and talk about jealousy. So stay with us on Sex Out Loud.
Ask the experts. Call toll free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Enhance pleasure for you and the ones you love to love with Astroglide personal lubricants. Astroglide provides that extra oomph in creating a better and more exciting sexual experience. Astroglide's wide product range allows you to pick and choose based on personal preferences. All the products are also latex condom compatible, allowing for safer sex practices. Astroglide values the benefits of a fun and healthy sex life as part of a happier lifestyle, and so should you. For more information and a free sample, visit astroglide.com and get your sex life to blast off today.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis
location.
Ready
to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Ask the experts. Call toll free right now. 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. My guest today is Reed Mahalko, and we're talking about polyamory. Now, we pre-recorded this show in San Francisco, but I asked listeners to send in questions for you on Facebook and Twitter. So, are you ready?
I'm ready.
This one comes from Conscious C on Twitter. Do you voice your relationship concerns the moment you feel them, or should you wait for an opportune moment?
This is like a game show. So I would say it depends on the kind of person that you are, around how you mull over or don't mull over things that are going on in your head. I'm very much a person who just tries to, like, I just blurt things out, because I'll, it's almost like I have a kind of like relationship Tourette's, you know, I'm like, I'm feeling uncomfortable, about this. I have other friends, Marsha, Baczynski, who helped me, create Cuddle Party. She's the kind of person who'll think about something for a week and get really clear about what's actually going on and then deliver what she has arrived at. And that's really useful for you to understand what kind of person you are around your own concerns. And if you're dating somebody or somebody's like that, because Marsha would start chewing on something mentally and I would notice it, but she wasn't speaking up, and that would make me feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Whereas I would just blurt things out.
The minute it comes to you, we gotta talk about it.
And this was useful because Marsha, when I would blurt things out, Marsha thought I'd been mulling it over for 2 weeks and was giving her a decision, or here's my assessment. Whereas I was just starting my brainstorming process, and so she would take what I said initially as like the truth that I have arrived at.
But it was just the beginning. It was the jumping off point for the conversation.
Exactly. And so I would seem like this wavering, couldn't make up my mind person to her. Whereas to me, she would be this person who would be kind of moody or mulling over something and then tell me. And it felt like she was withholding something and didn't feel comfortable telling me something. Mm. So once we figured out that and recalibrated for each other, it was hilarious because whenever I would say something, she would take it at face value and be like, wow, you don't know what you're talking about yet. And I'm like, I don't. But that would leave me feeling heard. Mm. And then when she would get quiet, I would be like, oh, this is good. This is a good sign because she will give me something soon. It's like it's gestating.
Maybe not on your timetable.
Not on my timetable.
Which I think is hard for people sometimes to sit through someone else saying, I'm not ready to talk about this.
Yeah.
It feels scary.
Yeah.
And the thing that we make up in our minds, by the way, whenever my partner says, I'm not quite ready to talk about this, I can go to a crazy, crazy, crazy person place. And then when he tells me what it is, I'm like, that's all it was?
Exactly.
Wow, that is like not as scary as
I thought.
It's
not just in romantic relationships, but think about this kind of, this kind of orientation, like how you process your thoughts. Look at that, how it affects you with your business partners, with your friends, your family. Like, this is a really huge, like, relationship piece. Mm-hmm. To be like, oh, that person's just quiet because they're culling through something. And there are other orientations. There are people who just never think about anything.
Well, right.
And never speak up at all. And I don't think you should be dating them.
We got that. We got that from you. Okay. So, I think I want to go next to jealousy because a lot of the questions that we got for you were about jealousy or various elements of jealousy. I know you teach this really interesting 4-week online course called Battling the 8-Armed Octopus of Jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
People can find out more about it on readaboutsex.com. So first, let me ask you, what is your take on jealousy? Do you think it is innate or instinctual or a learned behavior? Where do you fall on this?
It doesn't matter.
You don't care.
Okay. I claim the pragmatic New Yorker. Who gives a fuck? How you doing? How you feeling?
You don't care.
I don't care.
You don't care where it comes from.
Who cares? Like, you got to deal with it.
So you don't care. How do we deal with it?
Treat it like asthma.
Inhaler?
No. Yes. Know your triggers. Mm-hmm. Learn how to avoid them. And then start working on inoculating yourself. Kamala Devi, who's down in San Diego, who runs a polyamory community and is a tantra teacher, she talks about jealousy being that it's a signal that there are unmet needs or unexpressed needs in the relationship. So if all of your needs are getting met, whatever those are, and we can do a hierarchy of needs and pay homage to Maslow and all those people, if all your needs are getting met, you're probably not going to feel jealous.
What if you do? Still, and you think your needs are being met, but you still feel jealous.
Then start combing through, like, what was the trigger and where's the weak link in the chain? Like, what's going on for you? And because in our culture, we avoid jealousy at all costs because it will destroy relationships. Like, our jealousy muscles are atrophied and we don't know how to handle it. You know, at least in cultures like Latino culture, in Italian culture, big air quotes around culture. Jealousy is kind of this cool thing. Like, this is how much I show you that I love you.
Well, yes, I think jealousy actually is pretty inextricably linked with love, seriousness, commitment. And that's a problem for some people.
Yeah. And this is where I'm just like, just treat it like asthma, folks. Like, it's not that big of a deal if you learn how to handle it. And so...
But I think the how to handle it is the trickiest part. Because for people who are overcome with jealousy, it's a really big deal. It can paralyze some people and really make them crazy.
And this is why you should order my 4-week e-course. no, but this is the thing. Is like, most people were never raised how to handle it. So when it comes for you, it comes for you, the big green-eyed monster. So an ex-partner of mine, we will call this person Dr. Beth. she and I had a big conversation about jealousy. She's a geek, a research geek, so she started reading all the studies and psychological studies people did on jealousy and just kind of started combing through different ways people were studying it from different approaches. And basically what she came up with, there was a basic eight principles or eight areas that people were studying around jealousy. And I'm like, it's an octopus. And so we came up with this idea of looking at jealousy from these arms of, and then the needs underneath those arms. And what's interesting for a lot of people is jealousy won't get triggered unless two or three things get tugged on at once.
Now, so give me an example of one or two of the arms.
Yeah. So I'm now going to my God device, my iPhone, to pick up the little JPEG, which you can get on my website, by the way. So the eight arms of the octopus of jealousy. There's loneliness. There's rejection. There's loss. Feelings of insecurity in the relationship, not you yourself feeling insecure. A need to feel special, which for some people kind of translates to like possessiveness. Like I'm making this relationship special.
Okay, this is
I'm
good
possessing
because
it.
Liz W. on Facebook said, how do you deal with possessiveness? So let's jump in.
Sure.
Possessiveness.
So the possessiveness, look underneath it to feel like, okay, what are my needs around possessing my partner? Or being, for some people, it's probably being possessed as well. Like, if you don't care about me that I want to date other people, then you must not love me because you don't want to possess me or whatever it is. Really start looking through, like, what are your needs around that relationship feeling special? If somebody is, if you have to share somebody, what does that mean about your own self-worth or about the worth of the relationship? And when you start breaking those things down, often when you comb through them, you'll be like, wow, like I just need my relationship with you to feel special. It's not about you being in love with other people or about, you know, you sharing things with people. I just need to know that we're special somehow. And sometimes that's as simple as don't use the same nickname with me, pet name with me as you do with somebody else. And when you start getting your needs for being special or, you know, the possessiveness in a geeky poly way is like you're going to a friend's wedding, you know, I want you to sit next to me. Like we sit at the table, we arrive as a couple, we leave as a couple. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel special. That makes me feel seen in our community. And as long as that little recipe's handled for you, like that arm doesn't get tugged and all of a sudden, like you feel great. And jealousy doesn't get triggered. The other thing to think about with the eight arms is that for some people, like having two or three of them tugged at the same time, almost like it's a musical chord, like the resonance of that is what triggers jealousy. So for some people, you're like, wow, like that partner that you're dating now doesn't trigger any jealousy for me. I don't know why, because that other person that you're dating is totally driving me crazy. And you start kind of looking at, well, what are those triggers that you're noticing? And then what are the needs underneath them if you can preemptively get those met? The other orientation around jealousy is just understanding that when jealousy gets triggered, you kind of almost celebrate it. You know, you're like, okay, this sucks, but this is a good thing because there are needs underneath it that we can figure out how to get handled.
This is jealousy as a gift.
Jealousy
as
a gift.
As an opportunity.
Yeah. Which a lot of people, especially in America, would be like, jealousy is a gift.
Really?
You know, right. Go to hell.
Right. But no, but if you reframe it in that way, that it's I can't remember who said jealousy is like a signal on the dashboard that you need to check under the hood. Mm-hmm. There might be something wrong. Don't get alarmed. It could be something serious. It could be something minor, but the light's gone off. So you should pull over, stop the car. See what's going on.
Have a conversation. You know, do your own homework too. Like it's not your partner's responsibility to figure out what's making you jealous.
Right.
Like that's a horrible formula.
Right.
And then that just leads to blaming and weirdness. And you did this to me. So I do like the needs piece, like trying to figure out what the needs are and that dashboard light blinking. For a lot of people will interrupt that pattern of, oh my God, we're going to crash and burn. You're like, oh, okay, let's take a look under the hood, see what's going on.
So sort of a don't panic either about jealousy. Because I think it does panic people. And I also think we don't, we're just not used to feeling the bad feelings and letting them kind of wash over us. I feel like people are constantly like, I feel jealous and I need you to tell me right now how to not feel that anymore.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, okay, let's feel jealous for the day.
The usual things are just, you know, take a break, you know, pause everything for a second and at least ask for reassurance. I need you to reassure me that you're willing to go through this uncomfortableness as I go through it.
Okay, great. We're going to take a break. When we come back with Reed, I want to talk about one element of having multiple sex partners, and that is safer sex. One thing you should always have in your safer sex arsenal is lube. It's the perfect companion to gloves, dams, and condoms. Astroglide personal lubricants make sex better. Get a free sample by visiting astroglide.com. More when we come back on Sex Out Loud.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jennifer Pritchett from The Smitten Kitten. We're huge Tristan Taramino fans just like you, and we're so proud to be the presenting sponsor for Sex Out Loud. If you're not already familiar with Smitten Kitten, here's the deal. We're an education-based sex toys and supplies retailer. We sell high-quality, non-toxic, and artist-made sex toys, organic lubes, and all kinds of kinky stuff, including hard-to-find vegan options. We cater to an incredibly diverse clientele and specialize in helping you find new sexual interests, expand your sexual skill sets, and even troubleshoot sexual issues with you. We are here to help you feel confident and sexy. We spend a ton of time and energy curating our selection of products to make sure we have the best selection, be it silicone dildos, pegging and strap-on equipment, vibrators, or ethically made porn. Our mission is to make sex-positive culture accessible to everyone. Don't miss our free streaming explicit educational videos, many of which were directed by Tristan herself, on our website, smittenkittenonline.com. Get inspired by Tristan's amazing show, Sex Out Loud, and then visit us online at our Minneapolis location.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking about polyamory, jealousy, and all sorts of alternative relationship strategies with our guest, Reed Mahalko. Now, Reed, I know that you are a strong advocate of safer sex, which is obviously a big issue for folks who are going to have multiple sex partners. Mm-hmm. It's actually just as important for monogamous folks as well,
yes.
I would argue. And the statistics on how many people don't practice safer sex are kind of damning, especially young people. So what is your sort of secret recipe for how to talk openly with a new partner about safer sex?
I'd say be the change you want to see in the bedroom is my little bumper sticker moment for all this. The idea that if you're not having a safer sex conversation, for you to look at why aren't you having it? A lot of people don't have safer sex conversations because they're afraid that it's going to ruin the moment and I'm never ever going to get any action.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other people don't have the safer sex conversation because they don't know how to have it. So
how do we have it?
I
know you have a secret.
Yes,
I've read it on your website.
I do. Go to readaboutsex.com and do a search for elevator speech. It's my safer sex elevator speech. And the idea is, you know, can you express your needs, wants, safer sex protocol, your status? Can you express that in 2 to 4 minutes? And kind of like an elevator pitch. And if you can have the most uncomfortable conversation in 4 minutes, have it immediately. And then you never, like, it's out there, and now everything else becomes a lot easier. You will have to figure out when you want to, no pun intended, or maybe pun intended, insert it into the conversation. But, like, I've actually met people by going up to them and being like, would you like to hear my safer sex elevator speech? Because when I'm crushing on somebody, I know that that's going to be hard for me to have that conversation, so I'll lead with it. It at least, if they run screaming, then they probably weren't the right person for me to be hitting on, mm-hmm. especially since I'm, you know, so promiscuous. But I'm definitely the most interesting person in the bar in that moment, because
that's your pickup line.
Because no one else.
Safer sex.
Yeah. But this is the brilliance of it, right? So if you go to readaboutsex.com and just type in safer sex elevator speech, there's a little formula for it. But the brilliance is in that 3 to 4 minutes when I go through my, you know, when I got tested, what I got tested for, what my status is, the kinds of safer sex I like to have, what my needs and protocols are. Something I like, something I don't like. Then at the end of that, I get to say, and how about you? I've role modeled a kind of a script to share so that person can share back in a similar way. I've made it okay for us to talk about this by initiating this conversation. I've had what could be the most difficult or awkward conversation. I put it right on the table. And then in saying, what about you? What you say in the next 2 to 4 minutes tells me volumes about who I'm considering sleeping with. So if I do my little elevator speech and the person across from me is like, yeah. At least I can adjust my expectations and be like, all right, so I need a biohazmat suit and we're going to do it this way. But if I say that all and you're like, wow, that's impressive. Like, that was like 3.5 minutes. Well, here I go. And you dive in. I'm like, wow, okay, this is a much different person that I'm considering, you know, right. sharing genitals with. And it's a much easier strategy, I think, to lay it on the table, no pun intended again, and get it out of the way as a way of meeting people and as an assessment tool.
Right, right. Okay, so in addition to all this educational work you do around non-traditional relationships, you're also a well-regarded sex educator, and you tour the country with what you call Reed's Sex Geek Chic College Tour at colleges and universities all over North America. So tell me about this tour.
I'm a dildo for hire, so bring me in. The Sex Geek Chic Tour is basically me coming to your school or even an organization and talking about whatever you want. There's different types of talks that I can give when I come to your school, or you can just kind of order up the Sex Geek Chic Tour talk, which is, you know, a 2-hour version of me just going through all different kinds of sex and a lot of what I think are the best practices and skill sets for people to be talking about on campus as well as when you're out of school. What's interesting about college campuses these days is for the first time ever, we've got some of the worst sexually health educated adults or young adults ever.
Because of abstinence only education
yeah.
in our schools and in high school. So they come to college. They don't know anything.
Who have also been grown up with the internet. So for people that are visual learners, especially, we're getting all of our lovemaking cues from porn. And our communication cues from porn and sitcoms around sex and relationships. So what ends up happening is people don't understand that porn is an entertainment medium. And, you know, trying to learn how to be a better lover from watching porn is kind of like trying to learn how to drive from watching The Fast and the Furious.
Okay, but can I insert something here again?
Yes.
With the insertion? Because I feel like when you make that statement, which is made by other sex educators, you need to say mainstream porn. You need to say a lot of porn. You need to say the majority of porn. But it's not all porn.
It's not
some of us are making educational
yes.
porn
and
that you can learn how to communicate and do stuff really well.
But that's educational porn.
Okay, but I think you need to be specific because otherwise it sounds like you're bashing porn.
I'm not a porn basher.
Okay.
And if you're going to say, that would be like me saying, trying to learn how to be better at romance, watch romantic comedies. You know, every once in a while, there's a romantic comedy that actually
gets it right
and is role modeling good communication. But for the most part, like you don't, and right. you know, and in some of you, I mean, you do explicit educational adult content, you know, product. So yes, it's true. I will take that back. It's, unless you're watching very specific kinds of porn, most porn, it is a horrible learning medium. And these people are in college now and don't know how to communicate, don't know, you know, how to get tested or where to get tested or talk about it. So especially in colleges, you know, me coming in and giving people some basic tools and education and permission to go figure out and how to make yourself happy and do it safely. Like, that's really inspiring to me. And also, you know, we don't have a lot of male cisgendered sex educators out there role modeling for other, you know, cisgendered males on campus.
I want to say to our listeners, cisgender, which is CIS, a cisgendered male is someone who was assigned male gender at birth and still identifies as male. So it's a non-trans man. Mm-hmm. And you're right. I think the sex education field is flooded with female identified people, women.
Which is awesome too. We need
which
that.
Which is awesome for sure. But I hear your point that sometimes guys need to talk to other guys. It feels like a safer space for them to ask questions. I'm struck a little by, we had Dan Savage on the show, mm-hmm. and his new series, Savage U, on MTV. I'm struck by the different kinds of interactions he has with female students, with male students, with straight students, with queer students. It really does shift the dynamic, who you're talking to.
Yeah. And so my recommendation is for all, for people who are running the, or in charge of bringing people into their college campuses. And this isn't just a plug for me, but like, try to bring in female educators, and trans, like, it, run the gamut. Try to get as much diversity as you can in your offerings, because, you know, a student's going to listen differently to you, Tristan, and then they're going to listen to me. And, you know, that's important. It's super, super important.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on Sex Out Loud. I'm so sad we're out of time, Reed.
No, when do I get to come back?
Okay.
When?
You'll come back soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Reed Mihalko is a sex and relationship expert, coach, workshop facilitator, and college speaker. He gives classes and presentations on everything from romance and jealousy to hand and oral sex skills. He tours colleges and universities year-round with Reed's Sex Geek Chic College Tour. Find out more about his work at readaboutsex.com and follow him on Twitter at readaboutsex. You can also see a glimpse of him on TV on an episode of Misadvised on Bravo. If you missed any part of the show today or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. Find out about upcoming shows at sexoutloudradio.com. Tune in next Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another episode of Sex Out Loud. Until then, I encourage you to keep this discussion going on facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.